In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, the Old Testament reading, to the 8th chapter of the prophecy of Amos. Amos chapter 8, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth as in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the Lord continues his work of warning and judgment here by the mouth of Amos. I will remind you that Amos is still speaking, and so while it may be too late for the northern kingdom itself, it may not be too late for several remnant believers in the northern kingdom, right? Why else would the Lord continue sending his word if not, at least on the one hand, to gather up those remnant that are left, and then on the other, to heap up his wrath for those who are still hardened in their sins? So I think both things are true. And so there is yet hope if the Lord is yet speaking. But doesn't this passage also tell us that there will be a time when the Lord will send a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord? And that is indeed the most frightening sort of famine that could ever come. All right, well, let's start at the beginning of the passage, a basket of summer fruit. When do you harvest summer fruit? At the end of summer, right? And so what the Lord is saying here is, the time of harvesting is done. I'm not going to pass by my people anymore. Like he said earlier in chapter 7, that means I'm not going to pass by their sins anymore. I'm going to visit their sins. I have given them the spring and the planting and the summer and the harvest, and they have not turned to me. I will not pass by anymore. So that's what he said in the last chapter, and it's what the Lord says in this chapter. So the songs of their temple right? They're perverse worship songs by which they worship those calves in Beersheba, in Dan, and in Bethel. The Lord says those songs shall be howlings in that day. By howlings, think of the wailing of cries, right? And then there shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence. Now, literally it reads, they shall cast them forth silent. So there's a dispute among commentators as to actually what's being communicated here. Let me give you a couple of possible interpretations. That they sang their rotten worship songs, and then those songs were turned to wailings. Now it's all going to be silent. That's the first interpretation. That they will die, and they will no longer be singing their false worship songs, and they will no longer be wailing. They will be simply silent in their graves. Right? They'll cast out their bodies silent. The Authorized Version here translates it that they will be cast forth with silence, as if those who cast them forth will not lament them at all. It may also be that. That's a potential translation, although I think I prefer the first rather than the second interpretation. I mean, doesn't it sound like what the Lord is doing here is silencing the false worship? That seems to me to be more viable than the other interpretation. All right, so then in verses 4 through 10, we hear about the covetousness of the people. Remember what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that the love of, chapter 5 or 6, 6, that the love of money is a root of all evils. That's literally how it ought to be translated. That whatever evil you want to get yourself into, you can do so through covetousness and through the love of money. So here, notice, through the love of money and through covetousness, we see the breaking of days that God had appointed for worship, the new moons. We see the breaking of the Sabbath, or at least the desire to break it. When will the Sabbath be over so that we can sell? And in selling, with our covetousness, making the ephah small, right, and all of that other dishonesty that goes along with covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is trusting in something other than the Lord, resting in wealth and in riches. Mammon, if we want to put it in the context of this morning's service. And so what do we have here? We have that they are willing to break the Sabbath day or to desire to break it in order that they may continue on with their covetousness. We certainly see who their God is at this point. Right? And it is a convicting word, isn't it, for ourselves, because there is a particular spiritual rigor on the Sabbath day that sometimes might be tempting to us to make it to make ourselves or to allow ourselves to wish it was over before it was, right? Okay, so buying the poor for silver, the needy for a pair of shoes, sell the refuse of the wheat. The refuse of the wheat, everybody knows what that is. That's the gleaning. They were commanded to leave that for the poor, but in order that they might even drive the poor into a greater poverty so that they can buy and sell them as slaves, that's what the passage says, they were taking away the gleaning and selling it instead. So then the poor had not even the gleaning to survive on. The only thing they had to survive on was selling themselves for a pair of shoes. That's something the Lord does not approve on. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. The flood of Egypt here is probably a reference to the Red Sea, the flood that drowned Egypt. So notice also, the Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob. Who's the excellency of Jacob? The Lord. Right? It's a poetic phrase. The Lord has sworn by himself. Surely I will never forget any of their works. that's tantamount to saying what? I won't pass by them anymore. There's no forgiveness. No. They are hardened in their sins. All right, so the Lord declares that he will, there's apocalyptic language. The sun goes down at noon, darken the earth in the clear day. Your feast will be turned to mourning, sackcloth upon all loins, baldness upon every head. Let's remember that the clipping of the hair and the beard was a sign of mourning in Scripture, always has been. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof a bitter day. But then after all of that, the Lord gives the most dire judgment. I will send a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And notice how that corresponds to the end of the last chapter. What did the priest Amaziah say? Stop preaching the word, Amos. And the Lord says, okay, I will. That's a day of darkness. That is the kind of darkness, remember in Egypt there was the day of darkness that could be felt. A darkness that could be felt, right? This is a darkness that can't be felt. When the Lord takes away his word and leaves you to your own thought forms and paradigms and theories, you can't feel that. You think that you're flying on the ceiling and somebody's stepping on your top lip on the floor. You don't know it. This is like the guy, like Solomon talks about, I felt like I was on the top of a mast, right? And they've smitten me and I knew it not. And, all these things are happening. You don't know why. And you can't figure it out because there's no word of the Lord. And we're all reminded, aren't we, of that sermon preached by John Rogers, right? With regard to, oh Lord, take our lands, take our children, take our farms and families, but don't take thy word from us. That's when he kind of acts at the end of that sermon. Well, says the Lord, you don't listen to my word, I'm going to take it away from you, right? And it was, I believe, Thomas Goodwin that was so affected by that sermon, that was 30 minutes weeping on the withers of his horse before he could find the strength to mount it, thinking that God would indeed take away his word from us. This indeed should have shaken that remnant to the core. Finally then, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and that say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Three places of idolatrous worship in the north. And the Lord says that those who follow after them, they will simply perish. He will not pass by anymore. Thus ends the reading then of Amos chapter 8.